His ideal, in other words, was a forceful party, a forceful state, leading the way in transforming Russia, but he believed that that leadership had to be free and vital within itself. And in particular, he worried a great deal about Stalin's role, Joseph Stalin's role, in limiting this vital, free life within the party. You'll hear more about Stalin next time. Trotsky's major opponent in these debates was a man named Nikolai Bukharin, born in 1888, died in 1938. Stalin was a major ally at this point of Bukharin's. It might be relevant to begin by remembering that just as a human being, as a person, Bukharin was a very different sort of person than Lev Trotsky, or than Stalin, but we'll hear more about him. By every account, Trotsky was self-confident to the point of absolute arrogance, an individualist to the extreme, and brutal in his polemics. By contrast, Bukharin was one of the best-liked leaders of the party. Lenin, in one of his last writings in December of 1922, called him the beloved of the whole party. He called Trotsky, by contrast, the most able man in the whole party. In fact, even Bukharin's opponents in ideology agreed that he was a nice guy, sensitive, good nature. In fact, even his appearance was gentle. While lots of Bolsheviks, including Trotsky, tended to like to wear military dress in the 1920s to remind them of that Civil War tough style, Bukharin insisted on dressing like an old bohemian intellectual. He looked more like he ought to be sitting in a cafe in perhaps Western Europe than leading the heroic advance of the Soviet government. These personal characteristics reflected deeper convictions and values. Above all, Bukharin opposed the economic arguments of Trotsky and the left. He felt that they were economically flawed. He agreed with the left, and virtually everyone else in Russia and Soviet Russia, that Russia's backwardness was a serious obstacle to everything the communists wanted to achieve. But he drew different conclusions from this backwardness. He was very skeptical about the statist economic ideals of the left, planning, forced accumulation, and development. He feared that this would create a massive apparatus in order to bring about this planned development of the economy, and he argued that this would not work. This would simply impede economic growth. Such a big planning apparatus was inefficient and impractical. He agreed industrialization was necessary, that the resources, even, he admitted, would have to come from the most largest part of the economy, the peasant economy. But he favored a plan based on consumption rather than forced production. He argued that this investment capital would grow naturally out of the market if the focus was on consumer goods rather than big machine plants. If you produced for consumption, people would buy more. As people bought more, more money would go back into industry, and this natural cycle would develop the economy more effectively, even if more slowly. However, his arguments were not just economic, and this really gets to the heart of thinking about Bukharin's and other people's stance of what became known as the right in the 1920s. Like Lenin, Bukharin saw a fundamental political need to maintain peasant acceptance of Bolshevism. He argued, as Lenin did, that one must teach the peasants why socialism is a good thing, convert them, not force it down their throats, much less force them to pay dearly for industrialization. In his words, one should approach the peasant with love, not hate. And the program of the left, Trotsky's program, he feared, would alienate peasants immediately, would probably lead to a rise of peasant rebellions, as we saw in 1920-21, which would require massive use of military force, which would only alienate them further and, in fact, undermine the whole project of socialism. His image was of a gradual, evolutionary road to socialism, not the road of violent class struggle, not the road of coercion by the state, but in his own words, this is from 1925, a road to socialism that would be peaceful and bloodless without the clanging of metal weapons. Now, as this may suggest, there was not simply economic or even political considerations in Bukharin's attack on the left, on Trotsky, but also what really must be called ethical and moral considerations. Bukharin believed that socialism this emancipatory ideal could not be built with the same tools as capitalism. The means and the ends had to fit together more clearly.